pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this evening that you would open our hearts and minds so we may clearly hear your Spirit speaking to us. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Back in Genesis, you know, where everything began, where creation happens. By the time we get to chapter 3, things have gotten pretty bad, haven't they? We have fallen. And we have a list of the curses, the results of that fall. And we are told in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, this is sort of at the end of the curse, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. God created us out of the dirt, didn't he? And without God, dirt is what we become. This is not good news, is it? But there are many who live today who see that when they die, they just become worm food. Or if they're cremated, they literally become ashes, don't they? And that's it. We're here for how many years that you have, and that's it. And when you hear the curses way back there in Genesis 3, it sounds like that's the end of the story. But you may have noticed that the Bible has a whole lot more chapters after chapter 3. Our God doesn't leave it there. But as I think about my mortality, when I think about the fragility of life, and as I was preparing the sermon, I was thinking about this it's a sign that I must be getting old, because I can start to think back when things were better. No, I know things were off. Some things were better, if I'm honest. There was, you know, other things that were not as good. But when I rented my first place, it was unfurnished. Okay? And I managed to get a washing machine. Got to wash your clothes. And I got one of those. Now this will see how old people are. Remember those ones that had the rollers on the top? They were brilliant washing machines. So I can't remember exactly. It was something like $20 or maybe $50. This was an old, half-rusted type thing, but it worked. And it served me well. And in fact, it was almost fun, you know, after the washing bit. It didn't have its own spin dry. That was what the rolly things at the top for. You pull your wet washing out and they start to turn and you feed your clothes through it. So washing was a bit more hands-on than it is today. We won't ask you to put your hands up if you've used one of these, but I definitely did. It was old, it was rusted, and it was one of the most reliable pieces of furniture that I had. In fact, I had an opportunity to get a better washing machine. I think someone at church had upgraded and offered me their old one. And so this old beast I gave to someone else. For all I know, to this day, it's probably still washing clothes and squishing them out. But what happens with appliances today? Isn't it weird that we get happy that our TV has actually lasted the 5 years of the extended warranty? But once the extended warranty is up, you know what happens, don't you? It lasts for 5 years and one day. And things are a bit like this. Things that we expect to last. We get a wonderful new phone, and what do? We drop it. We shatter the glass. We buy warranties to look after things. But even those are very finite, aren't they? There's so much about our life that is finite. There was once a time where we fixed things. Now, some of you I know are very handy, and you probably still do fix things. I grew up being involved in the computer industry, and somewhere in the, I think it was about the late 80s to the early 90s, it started to work out that it was cheaper to replace computer bits than it was to fix them. Rather than before that, in the early 80s and mid 80s, we'd be in there. Now, I'm not good at this, but I'd be in there with a screwdriver and sometimes a soldering iron. And I had friends who were more technical, and they'd be pointing me in the right direction. But now, if a computer technician has to spend 3 hours fixing something, you can buy the replacement part for $100. 3 hours of technician time, it just becomes a matter of economics, doesn't it? And we're in a world now where many things are easier to chuck and get a new one. It's simple economics. It's simple time economics. Do you want to sit down there and spend 5 hours doing this? Or do you want to go onto Amazon, pay $50 and have it in 2 days? You know, it's a different world. I'm not saying what's good or bad. But we can even start to see people this way, can't we, as disposable. I have this friend, I have this girlfriend, I have this boyfriend, I have this husband, this wife. They no longer interest me. They've run out of their warranty. I'll just go get a new one. We do, hopefully we don't all hear, but there is that element in our society now where people are treated as disposable. You yourself may have felt treated that way. It starts to feel like you're still in the back of the schoolyard where, you know, some of your friends have found better friends to go to and they've left you. You don't have enough to offer or whatever it may be. This sense of temporary, this sense of disposal, this sense of ending up in the junk heap, ending up as ashes, is what this world that has been stained by sin is offering us. We may not always think it. Sometimes what the world offers, what sin offers us, seems like a great deal. But in our disposable society, what do we have now? We have giant islands of plastic out there. We have microplastics in everything we eat and drink. There's consequences in this efficiency at times that the world offers us. Sin can offer a lot, but in the end, it delivers ashes. However, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's from John 11. Jesus isn't death. Jesus isn't offering us ashes. He's offering us resurrection, offering us new life. He's offering us real life. What we are going through here is temporary. Death is not the end of the story. It is what we go through to be with him forever. When we put our trust in Jesus, we may have to go through the ashes, unless our Lord returns, we will all die at some stage. But we go through that. It's now a going through, not in our power, not because we have something innate about us, but because of Jesus, because of the cross. So at the cross, Jesus bears our curse. That curse of ashes to ashes, that we would just become dust again, that curse is placed upon him. Jesus enters the dust. This is what we've just been celebrating. And it's, in some ways it seems like it was just a couple of days ago, but Christmas. We were celebrating at Christmas was that God becomes one of us. The incarnation, the birth of Jesus is God becoming one of us. God comes down into the dust. He comes down into the dirt. He gets into our messiness to save us. That's how much he loves us. He comes down and into our dust. And he dies. The curse of Adam is released fully upon him, and he takes it all upon himself. He died, but that wasn't the end of the story, was it? Was it? On the cross, remember, he says, it is finished. Exactly. Sin has been defeated. Penalties have been paid. Curses have been exhausted. Because he died, we don't remain as dust. We look forward to his return. We look forward to the resurrection. We look forward to the new heaven and the new earth, where there will be no more suffering, no more tears, no sin, no death. Yes, from dust you have come, and from dust you will return. But because of Jesus, because of the one who is the resurrection and the life, that is not the end of your story. If you put your trust in him, if you repent and hand over your sins at the foot of the cross, if you receive all he has to offer you, ashes is not where you will remain. You will be given life and life eternal. So tonight, as we come and we remember our fragility, we remember our mortality, part of that is to help us focus that we cannot save ourselves. We need him, don't we? We need what he has done on the cross for us. We can't reach heaven. We need heaven to come down and reach us. And through our Lord Jesus, that has happened. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.